You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James, and today I'm with my co-host, Mr. Luke LaCoy.
Hello, hello. Hi. How you
doing? Yes, and it is a great day. LA is coming back for comedy, so we thought we'd have our good friend Paul Douglas Moomjean come and talk to us about it. He leads up classes at Flappers. He tours all over the place. He is always working, so we thought we'd invite him by. And plus, he just had like major surgery and like was in the hospital. And I reached out to him because one, I love him. Like, he's like my brother. But I like definitely was worried, like, because I had another friend like who 6 months ago had a widowmaker heart attack. So now I'm like worried about all my friends and I'm worried about myself. I'm like, I do this game of should I eat this or not? That's the game I play now, like with myself.
I will be honest, James. Luke and I both thought you'd be the first one to go.
Oh, I agree. 100%. So,
but I do want to clarify, there was no surgery. It was simply just they realized that my heart is only pumping at 20 to 25% capacity. So what that simply means is I was putting too much sodium, too much water, and you know, basically alcohol, tobacco, whatever, you know, is bad I put into me. And my heart was just like, my heart became the worst employee of the body. So, you know, that one employee that no longer like wants to do anything, right? They just like, you give them copies to make copies of, and they just put it in the, you know, I don't know, the shredder, and they just walk away. That's what my heart was doing. My heart was taking what should have been blood, pumping toxins out, food out, all that stuff. Instead of just sending it to my legs, sending it to my stomach, and sending it to my forehead. So I literally was as bloated as Donald Trump's ego. And then I was sweating all night trying to get the toxins out. Wow. Once they figured out it was the heart, they were able to run some tests, do a few things. So now I'm down 55 pounds.
Wow.
And I have the energy of a 25-year-old until about 9 o'clock. And then I want to go to sleep.
So sounds like my life.
Yeah. So like, I'm literally, it's funny. I'm going to be 40 in October. And so there's this small part of me that's like, I have no wife or kids, but I just feel like I do around 8:30.
So wait, so how do they fix that then? Like, what do they?
They don't.
They don't do any. They can't do anything for you.
No, it will repair itself, assuming that I make the right changes. And the right changes doesn't necessarily mean like everything that we talked about. It could be there's other things down the road we may have to make adjustments about. But the heart within 2 years can get itself back up over 50%. Hmm. So most people's hearts are functioning at 50, 55, maybe 60%.
Wow.
That's a healthy heart. Most people don't know that. I knew that before. When I got diagnosed with diabetes 6 years ago, it was one of those things where they're like, this is what's going to happen if you don't take care of yourself. Ironically, everything that happened here, the diabetes probably played the least part. It's really just the fact that my parents have terrible genetics. And they never should have reproduced children.
And so, my parents too.
Right? No, really, like my parents both shaped like pears. They never, two pears don't make a parent. And it was so wrong of them to make me.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I am glad they made you.
Yeah. This is also like the 10th or 11th time I've almost died in life.
Wow. Jeez Louise.
So I'm kind of over it. It's getting boring. Okay.
Are you going to start doing riskier stuff now?
Well, I almost died in car accidents, whitewater rafting, all those events. Plus on top of that, when I was born, I had a breathing tube problem called an H-type fistula. I had tubes in my ears when I was in third grade, almost took out my voice and my hearing. Like at this point, like the doctors were like, are you ready to go home? I go, I've been ready since the day you brought me in. Like, I'm over this. This is my second hospital stint in like 5 years. Like, wow. And you all just say the same thing. Watch the carbs, do this. I did. My body wants me dead. Okay. That's it. My body just wants me dead.
The rest of us.
This is the script I'm writing, where my body is just against me. It's an R-rated version of Osmosis Jones.
I love that. That's awesome. I would watch that, actually. I would love that.
Yeah.
That, and the other thing is, then all the rest of us are all praying and willing you stay alive, right? So we're all like, let's pray for Paul.
Paul's well, like, you know what was funny about that was, is, and you've been very kind and generous over the years with me, so this is not about you in any way, but the people who were writing to me, you're in our thoughts and prayers, after they wrote that, I went to the emergency room. So it wasn't helping. Like, everybody's praying for me, and I'm getting worse.
Stop praying. Everyone stop.
So you're not on Facebook anymore because you're more sane than the rest of us. But on Facebook, I wrote, please stop praying for me and just send me money on Venmo. And I had about $1,800.
Nice.
Right? Now, here's what's funny. Not one person who wrote, you're in our thoughts and prayers, sent me a dime.
I will send you money. I didn't know that was an option.
No, it's fine now. Everything's good now. What my point is that everybody who was like, I'm sending prayers, refused to send money. And so what I'm going to eventually do is I have a copy of the Bible verse of the Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send it to them and realize the Samaritan never prayed for the nice Hebrew boy. He just took care of his medical bills.
Yep.
Now, that will be very passive aggressive. But
that's the way you're supposed to use the Bible, I believe. I believe that's
right. But it'll be hilarious when people are very confused. Why did Paul email me the Good Samaritan? No, Luke, James, you both stem from different branches of Christianity, but listen to this one. A hardcore Pentecostal friend of mine tried to do an exorcism on what she believed was the demon in my heart over the iPhone.
What?
Yeah. So my phone blows up. I get like 12 texts in a row, you know, saying the blood of Christ is upon your heart and you will not be sick ever again. And I'm praying for 100% restoration and the demon that's fighting you will face me one. I'm like, okay, Gandalf.
Yeah. Thou shalt not pass.
Right. So that catches everybody up. So everyone who had no idea who I was, though, I've been on your show maybe more than anybody.
Yeah, I think you have. Besides Luke, I think you're the only person.
Yeah. So the you know, but yes, that catches everybody up. So right now I'm as healthy really as I've been, as I could be, you know. And I'm losing weight and I'm feeling good. No working out.
Okay.
And the doctor also said I can't be in a relationship. That's not a joke.
Yeah.
So
that should be a joke. That's a great premise though.
Well, I am. I've turned it in. I've already written 25 minutes of like really great stuff. But the doctor really did tell me, he goes, you know, you can't be too excited right now. Your heart doesn't have enough blood. And he goes, that goes in all areas of relationships, you know? So it's like from a physical standpoint, your heart can't take it. And from an emotional standpoint, your heart can't take it.
That is a great, if you're a woman, that would be the best way to like keep dudes away from you. Like, look, my heart can't take another relationship, okay? So you're just going to have to.
here's what's kind of funny is nothing has turned women on more than the fact that they can't have me right now.
You are the forbidden fruit.
I am. I had one woman send me a very inappropriate picture, and I wrote back, trying to kill me. she wanted me to feel better.
That's not going to help.
No. None of it helps.
So
that's it. That catches you all up.
All right. So that catches up with Paul as a person. Now, Paul works at Flappers University. He's in the club a lot. He's been in the scene of LA. So how has LA rebounded from COVID? How has comedy in LA rebounded from COVID?
Well, here's what I can say is, based on what we've seen with our shows and what I've heard from other shows, if you don't have a major headliner on your show, people aren't coming out.
Okay.
So this is something that we're starting to realize, that, you know, right now at Flappers, we had Jay Leno and Arsenio Hall the other night. And we sold out pretty quick.
Nice.
The problem is when we have a group of kind of up and comers, then they got to sell the tickets because we can't. Because we can't sell, you know, unknown comic number 3.
Right.
And that becomes a little difficult. And that's where people are deciding they don't want to be in a comedy club. And I'm seeing this with the new comedy clubs. If they don't have a big headliner, nobody's coming to see them.
So how long do you think it's going to take for, like, us, like Luke and I don't have, you know, TV movie credits. We don't have that headliner status yet. How long does it take for us to be able to get back on shows?
Well, I think if you independently produce and you have your own fan base,
right,
that's different. So if you're relying on the club for a booking spot and your show doesn't have a great headliner or at least a name, you know, it's just not going to work. Right now, Flappers is open Wednesday through Sunday.
Oh, wow.
In 1 week, we had, who was it? It was Trevor Wallace on a Thursday night, and he sold out. Mm-hmm. And we had Annie Letterman. She sold out. And we had Jay Leno, and we had one other big name, Howie Mandel, and they all sold out. And we were great. And then 1 weekend, we had Tony Baker. And he sold out, right? That was great. Meanwhile, in the Yoo-Hoo room, numbers are short. Numbers are small. And the Yoo-Hoo room before the pandemic was averaging a good 35, 40 people every show.
Yeah.
So here's what the other thing, though. But here's the thing, too. Nobody went and saw Suicide Squad. I think the indoor capacity, like if I'm going to go back indoors, like think about this. I've been stuck indoors for 18 months. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to go back indoors, you better have something worth going back indoors.
That makes sense.
Right? Because the things that are doing fine, like Disneyland's doing fine.
Yeah.
Right? You can go outdoors and walk around. You know, there's plenty of outdoor baseball games are doing fine. Everything's doing mm-hmm. fine. Except for, I think, like, do I really want to go in my house, get in my car, and go, right? So that's really what it comes down to. Now, the Improv, the Laugh Factory, and the Comedy Store have all had their own, you know, situations. You know, the Laugh Factory is lucky that they only have one room.
Yeah.
The Comedy Store had to shut down for a few days because there was a small COVID issue. So a couple employees, they had to shut down, redo the whole thing. They reseated the room. They cleaned it down. The Improv has been getting some bigger names right now than they normally get. And so even though they've always got big names, they're getting more in one show.
Right.
And so, you know, comics are thirsty for time. That also hurts up and covers. So, you know, when you bring up the point, like, when do, you know, you and Luke or even me and all these guys who are still like, you know, we have the time put in, but we don't have necessarily the fan base. I would be telling people what I would be doing more if I, like right now with the heart, I don't travel as much, but I'd be getting out of LA, not moving. I'd say go to San Diego, you know, email all the clubs in San Diego, email every comedy restaurant venue in Bakersfield, Fresno, get up to Sacramento, go to the places where they need new comics only because their scene is limited. They don't have 1,000 to choose from. They have like 50.
Yeah.
And not everyone's ready to, you know, headline. Not everybody's ready to feature or even open.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I remember in Arizona, I do this one club out there and they have an open mic on Thursdays. And what's fascinating is 40 comics show up. Only 5 of them will ever get an opening spot at that club for the first year because they're all so raw.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about. It's maybe don't focus on LA right now. And then once all those LA comics get their tours going, then they're going to start needing, you know, 10-minute feature spots, 5-minute guest spots. And then all of a sudden, you know, things go a little bit more back to normal and people are coming and watching the little rooms, the small rooms, and the off night shows.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good thing. I mean, I have some other stuff coming down the pipe, so I'm not too worried about it. I'm not really stressed about that stuff. It's just interesting to see how everything changed so quickly because, you know, I could be on a show every single week. And now it's like, hey, if you don't have a TV credit, you're not a headliner, whatever, we don't have room for you on the show. Sorry. It's like, oh, that's okay. I totally understand. The club has to make money, right? That has to be the first thing. And if they can't make money, then they're not going to stay open and you won't have anywhere to go anyways. So,
but we had to cancel a Yoo-Hoo Room show on a Saturday for the first time in a very long time. Wow. And it was a great lineup. In fact, I won't say who the lineup is. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you and I knew all of the comics on there.
Wow.
And they were fantastic.
Yeah.
But they don't have the LA following. Mm. And had that same lineup performed at a couple of bar venues, maybe, where the bar could have focused just on them, or potentially a corporate or church gig, because some of them were clean comics, they might have sold more tickets. In fact, I would say right now, if I were you and Luke, I would contact every church. I'd contact every religious group, Boys and Girls Club. I'd say, you'd say, hey, we're these clean comics, and we have the opportunity. We could probably bring another comic along with us, you know, like a Robert G. Lee type, and you could probably sell that venue to them. And yeah, they would be, oh, they would love it, because they don't want to go out to the comedy club. The comedy club is filthy.
Yeah.
So right now's the time to do something like that. Like probably in about 2-3 weeks, I'm going to hit up all the mega churches, because the dry bar thing is supposed to come out sometime this summer, which we've been saying forever, but at some point it's going to come out, because I got a confirmation email saying it's done. It's finally done. But once that dry bar special comes out, I'm going to call every church I know and say, I'll come do 45 minutes and I'll talk about the heart. And that's all clean. And I got 20, 25 minutes of all new material that isn't on that special. That's so awesome. If they advertise me as this, I can, in fact, even the Australian bit, some of the jobs, some of my Christian jokes did not get put in the special. So I'm in great spot. People are going to watch that 30-minute special. None of those jokes, except for maybe guys like you and me,
right,
is going to be in my regular thing. And so I'm set up. I feel very good to go out and make some alternate money on a Sunday night at a church.
That's genius. I mean, that's what we're waiting for, too, is David Studebaker had his dry bar special done. And so when his comes out, that's what we're doing, is we're going to do the churches and stuff, because then we'll have someone with a little more recognition and stuff. We could do Robert G. Lee, but I know he's touring and doing stuff on his own right now, so it's a little bit more difficult. But yeah, that's exactly what we were planning on.
Yeah, that's the plan, because what's nice about dry bar is that it's this great vetting of a comic. So the church goes, oh, they're clean. At least we know they can do 30 minutes clean.
Yeah.
So, right. So if the three of us did a thing where I do 30 and you each do 20, we have a full show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So that's not too bad.
No. And that's the thing, is I think comedians are now going to have to really, especially in LA or New York or whatever, they're going to have to think outside of the box if they want to get stage time, because there's not going to be a lot of clubs that are going to let us middle tier guys into places yet. So, I mean, that's a big thing.
One thing that people can't be doing is building a TikTok following. Mm-hmm.
No thanks.
I mean, it sounds awful.
It is, right? Awful.
It sounds awful.
I see what's on TikTok for my kids' TikTok, and I'm like, oh, I can't. No.
I know. But so cringy. But if you take some of your comedy clips and put them in 1-minute increments,
yeah,
and do a couple of ranting, if you can build yourself a TikTok following, because it's kind of accidental how it goes viral.
Yeah.
Right. You get into the algorithm, and then someone pushes you through. And, you know, I mean, I've seen, you know, right now, our buddies, the Verzi triplets,
yeah,
have 1 million followers.
Woo, nice.
So they got called out to Electric Comedy in Utah. So they're doing big show out there. They just did a big show out in Phoenix. Because when you're on TikTok, it's worldwide, right? It's national, it's worldwide. You could probably get 20, 30, 40 people to come out and see you. So that's another thing too. And what's nice about TikTok is that TikTok actually pushes you to people who would like your content. Mm-hmm. Whereas Instagram doesn't do that. And Facebook is just you and your friends.
Right.
So TikTok is actually the best place to go right now to build an audience.
I should hire Luke to run my TikTok. He ran David Studebaker's TikTok. And how big did David's get, Luke?
Not that big. It hit a plateau. Well, so this is interesting. So we pushed a lot of content from David on to TikTok, but it seemed to, like, I don't know if it's a clean comedy thing, but definitely, you know, it seems like clean comedy almost slows the numbers down. You know, it's like, I mean, compared to other comics I've seen, like, blow up so fast.
Right. How many, out of curiosity, how many times are you posting a day?
Well, like, lately, it's not. The first 3 months, we were doing one a day.
You need to do three.
Okay.
Yeah, no, really. Like that. So I started building a good, not so much a following as much as a consistency of numbers, like 500,000, 600,000, 700,000, 3,000 views. Mm-hmm. Which if I was an 18-year-old girl, I'd kill myself because those are terrible numbers. But as a 39-year-old male who does not look like Chris Hemsworth, those are pretty respectable. Three times. You need to get into their algorithm. Mm. That's what I've been told. I actually brought a few people onto my live stream we used to do during the pandemic here. And she is like one of the rock stars of TikTok. And she says, you got to post three times a day. Because TikTok rewards the people who are providing them with the most content.
Mm, that makes sense.
So it's awful. But Trevor Wallace right now sold out the main room on a Thursday night at 8 p.m. Mm. Because he's got a following, you know, yep. And he's doing it on TikTok and Instagram. It started Instagram, got them all over to TikTok. And now he just has to post, going to be here. And he's just, like, let's say I'm in San Diego and it'd sell out.
It's crazy.
I know.
I don't know.
But I think that the best thing that all of us can be doing is just finding opportunities to reach out to engage with audience people and potential audience people. I've been working on my, you know, I've been doing really well on Instagram lately and Facebook because of the heart jokes. No, really, the stories, all that stuff. But the thing is that I've been able to engage with people and then people are showing up to the shows.
Mm-hmm. So you do the heart jokes. Do you do heart jokes on there or you just talk about it and then that engages people?
Yeah, no, I have an actual philosophy that I try everything on social media really first.
Okay.
Because if I can't get at least 25 to 30 likes on something, it's not going to click on stage.
Really? I never thought about that. That's interesting.
And so like if I write a joke and it gets nothing, like 9 likes, nope, I won't even try. It's done. It's dead.
Wow.
Because I too often get 65 to 100 likes on things. So I then know if I have something or I don't. And then what I can do is it's really just the more of the setup of the first joke. Then I can go into greater detail.
Right.
So all my doctor stories did well. If you come to my show, you'll hear about how my doctor and I had some really awkward exchanges about if I do drugs, if I'm having sex, like all the other things they got to ask about the heart. So all of those jokes, you got to come watch and see. But the initial premise of the doctor saying I have to get rid of the three S's, stress, sodium, and sex, that did really well on Instagram and Facebook. Then you can hear all the stories when you come to the show.
I like that. That's smart. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna have to hire Luke to run my TikTok then.
Yes. You know what's fun, Luke? You should hire James to run yours.
I don't know anything about TikTok.
No. And then have a contest, and in 4 weeks, report back. Ironically, who knows? James could just find some random picture of Luke that gets him 1 million followers.
I would love to do that. There's no way that I don't know anything. Literally, all I know about TikTok is people do dances to it. That is all I know about TikTok. I know nothing. I see weird stuff on there all the time, or the ones where like someone's like, "Tell me your most unpopular opinion about blank," and then they do something silly. You might get cut. So like that's literally all I know about TikTok.
And you know more than most then.
Sadly.
James should just have a TikTok account where he's ranting on TikTok the whole time. He's ranting about TikTok, complaining about it. Like, he doesn't get it. He's annoyed with all these people on it.
I've always wanted to create a character like not like Larry the Cable Guy, but that's what I was thinking when I think of a character like a comedian thing and do something like that.
Have you guys both seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Mm-hmm. 1 and 2? I've seen 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's moments when Batista says certain jokes that reminds me of James.
Is it that I am not a princess?
There's just something about his delivery where I go, James would have delivered that the exact same way.
Yeah. My wife says that too.
Luke, she does?
Yeah.
About Batista in the movie?
Yeah, she's like, that stuff you would say, like, I'm not a princess. Nothing would go over my head. I'm too fast. You know, like that kind of stuff where she's like, ugh.
Yes. Also, when he says, my crap, they're epic.
Yeah. Luke, you have a question? I know you have a question. I see it on your face.
I'm just thinking of all the ways to get James popping on TikTok.
Anyone who's listening I'm not gonna do it.
match James with Batista quotes. Who did it better?
That would be awesome. Actually, that might be a funny one. Just do a bunch of different random. Yeah. Those are good.
Dax and James. That'll be perfect.
That's a good one. I'm very excited about the future of comedy, because I think, even though it seems like dire for like guys like us, guys like you and me, to use Paul's joke. I really think that there's an opportunity for us to break down things that we normally might not be able to do. Now, I know the Burbank Comedy Festival is coming up, or is it happening right now?
It started today.
So I know that that's important, and that's going to be opening doors for a lot of comedians too that might have otherwise been closed. I know the World Series of Comedy is happening in Las Vegas in September. That's another door that's going to be opening for people. There's so much stuff that's happening, and the ability for us to make our own content is huge too. Not necessarily because of places like TikTok, but yes, that Instagram, YouTube, all that's a podcast like this. I mean, I have more people interested reaching out to me about how to start a podcast like over the last 6 months than ever before. People who are asking me questions. We have friends that are opening comedy clubs. You got a comedian, B. Schmitty, who's opened a comedy club in San Antonio. There's so many ways for us as comedians to kind of have our own power, have our own hold of what we're doing. And I think that I think what Paul pointed out is perfect. You know, TikTok's one good thing, but there's other things that we can be doing and stuff. Are you writing anything, Paul? Because I know you worked on TV series and stuff. Are you writing anything, or do you want to do anything like that? Like movies, TV shows, stuff?
Yeah, I have a couple scripts in my head right now. You ever have an idea so bad that you know it would sell?
Yes.
I have one right now in my head. Basically, here's the premise. If someone else wants to take it on, fine by me. I just want a story credit and some cash.
Deal.
So the idea is, it was inspired by just watching David Spade in an interview, in which I thought I should make a David Spade movie. And it's about him being used by the FBI to like go undercover. And the night before he goes undercover, a gypsy puts a spell on him and he becomes a plant. So the movie's called The Plant. And now as a plant, he gets to be in the room with the drug dealers, you know, and his other cop buddy, who's also undercover, is placing him around, you know, and the character is high the entire time because he's a plant. And so it's just that's my idea. The title, the log line is it. That's it. I could sell it or not, but the log line, The Plant.
I love it. I actually love it. That's a great
No,
one.
I know. Everyone who hears it thinks it's hysterical. So but what, I feel like what I don't kind know of, after page.
What kind of plant, though? That's going to be the big thing. Is it an orchid? Is it what is it?
Well, basically, it's a ripoff of Baby Groot, but high.
Okay. All right.
So it's just a little plant. Yeah. And he says things like, "We'd gotta go now." It's awful. It's the worst script I'll ever write, but I more than likely I'm going to finish that before the one in which I talk about, you know, my remake of, you know, Meet Joe Black. So
I can only remember one scene in Meet Joe Black, and it's the opening sequence where Brad Pitt gets hit by two different cars.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
Right? I know, right?
But that movie has been remade a million times.
Yeah.
Through, you know, The Death Takes a Holiday, Always, you know, the idea of just the person from the other world coming back.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that idea too. And I felt that a little bit in the hospital.
Yeah. I actually was on I was on a date in high school when that movie came out, and we're in the theater. That happens. And I laugh out loud. I think it's the funniest thing in the world. And that was kind of the end of the date. Like, the girl was just totally not happy with me after that point. She was like, "That's terrible that you laugh at that."
No, don't feel bad. I was working at the movie theater when that movie came out, and everyone laughed.
Yeah.
But you know who would have especially laughed at that scene? Batista in Guardians of the Galaxy.
He would have.
He was hit twice. Double it.
Oh, that's so funny. You know what, though? You know what? You've inspired me, Paul. I'm going to start getting jacked because I know Batista's not coming back as Drax. So I'm going to start getting jacked so I can play Drax in one of the Guardians of the Galaxies when he's gone. So that's perfect. I'm going to start doing that. I got to go hit the gym again. I'm going to get bigger than The Rock.
Yes, and grow 4 inches. And grow 4 inches.
He's not that tall. But Batista and I are about the same height, I thought.
He's a professional wrestler. They're all 6'10", aren't they?
No, they're not. They look like it. He is 6'4", so I guess I do got to get a little bit taller. I'll wear stuff in my shoes or whatever. I only need 4 inches then, or no.
Okay, so let's
6 inches.
That's so here's an idea. Now that I'm skinny, I could go as Chris Pratt for Halloween. You go as Drax. Luke, you can go as Groot.
Yes.
And we just need to find two more people.
Yeah, we just need a Gamora. Although now we need a Thor because isn't like he's part of the Guardians of the Galaxy now, I think.
Well, so I could do that too. I'm that good looking.
Yeah, you are. You are. I agree. You could totally pull that off. That's awesome.
Oh, man. So, yeah. But that's really where, like, right now, you know, we have auditions every Wednesday at Flappers. I wanted to bring this up because we've kind of gone a tangent there. Every Wednesday, 6 p.m., we have auditions. It's a two-minute spot. Laugh Factory has Tuesday auditions. It's a two-minute spot, but you got to wait in line for 5 hours.
Yay.
Comedy Store has eliminated the potluck for right now. So anybody who's looking at trying to figure out how to get themselves with the LA comedy scene, it's really tough.
Yeah.
And the improv doesn't need any more comics. So just find opportunities for yourself. And again, independently produce a show. Mm-hmm. That's what we do with JR's Comedy Club. You know, we go to a restaurant, we sell 50 tickets, we make a little money, we give a headliner some money. Sometimes we are able to give the comics money, just depends on how much we make. And, you know, you run a $100 Facebook ad and you take the risk.
All right, Luke. I guess we know we got to learn some Facebook advertising now. I got to learn that now, too.
Does
got to be on Facebook. That's...
Yeah. Does your venue for JR's change, or is it at the same spot usually?
No, it's the same spot. The Mimi's Cafe in Valencia every Saturday at 7.
Cool.
And let me tell you, we came back opening week, which was like that mid-June. We sold 30, 34 tickets, something like that. Then we had Bobby Collins sell out the 9 o'clock show. I mean, we sold 80-plus tickets.
Wow.
You know? And we keep the door. The restaurant keeps the food. This is a great trick because most restaurants are, you know, people try to run their free show and then nobody's making money because only the comics show up plus four people. So if you sell tickets, at least somebody's going to make some money. And you know what? I've come to the conclusion nobody wants to go to a free show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure. How bad is the show that it's free?
Yep, I always agree. I mean, at minimum, you have to do, you know, a bucket or some kind of, like, donation jar or something. You can't just say free. You got to be able to – donations taken at the door or something like that.
But I would challenge everyone. Charge $5 to $25.
That seems fair.
Because here's the thing. If nobody's paying – and you're relying on people to go for free, and it's weekly, then they never have to go. They can just go next week.
Yeah.
But if they know, you know, and also less comics, not more. Mm-hmm. Have 4 or 5. You do a great job of that with your venue we did at Agoura.
Yeah.
You know, because a club might be a showcase for 5 minutes, but a bar show or a restaurant show or a back banquet hall show, they don't need 20 comedians. They're not showcasing. You get 4 or 5 quality people and give your headliners quality minutes, and people are shocked. People will pay for that, you know, especially in the outskirts of LA. Don't run it in the heart of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. A show in Burbank right now outside of Flappers is not going to do great.
No.
So find a place in Lancaster. Find a place, you know, in Bakersfield. Find a place, you know, right outside of LA. Right, take a little trip down and Carlsbad, you know. And if you only have to travel on Saturdays for it, you might make a lot of money. Do Eventbrite. it's not impossible if you put in the work and you're willing to take a bite for the first couple weeks. But then over time, people will come.
Yeah. That's what we're working on. I have a couple venues that were that are locally that I'm reaching out to and working on stuff for. It's just a matter of like really restaurants right now unsure of what the rules are going right. to be and how that works. That's that's the hard part, is convincing them. They're like, well, I don't know yet. I want to wait. And so I've gotten that pushback a few times because they're like, I would love to, but I don't know the rules. I don't know what's happening. And so it's it makes people wary. And then, well, I did have one more question. What is the rule at the club? Like, do comedians have to be vaccinated to go perform at Flappers?
As of right now, no.
Okay.
But the county could change that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah. By the time this gets posted, we could have a new rule.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true. That's the thing is, I was like, how is this going to work? And I wasn't sure. I'm waiting to get, obviously it takes weeks. You have to wait like a month or 6 weeks or whatever to get your second one. So I'm waiting. I'm on the time frame for the second shot. But it's one of those things where it's like, I've been asked three different times for three different projects, what's your vaccination status? And I was like, oh, that's interesting now that that's a thing, that that's a question that comes up. So I feel like, oh, that's going to be a common question for comedians going forward, or any place that's an indoor venue, is what's your vaccination status?
Well, at least in California.
Yeah, at least California. Mm-hmm. And probably like New York. No, but probably like New York, probably Washington State, Oregon, like places like that. That are more similar to California, they're probably going to ask those questions. What's your vaccination status? And for two of them, they're big productions that I know. I understand why they are curious about vaccination status, because they don't want their staff or their show or their series to get, you know, knocked off because everybody gets COVID, you know?
Right. And also, I think they're trying to convince people who would normally not do it to say, look, is this really worth not making money anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's good reasons not to get the vaccine. I have a friend who's got a heart problem, right? There's also bad reasons, which is the government's out to get us. And you're like, wait, but didn't you vote for Trump? Under his guidance, the thing was built. That don't matter. The government. You know, like it makes no sense. They're terrified that the government's trying to, like, encrypt them with some tracking device. And I go, but it all happened under the president you voted for. So do you think Trump did it? Because it wasn't Biden. He showed up and just delivered it.
Yeah. No, but I agree. My only beef with the entire vaccination process is that the fact that they waived the lawsuit thing for these companies. So if someone dies from it, you can't do anything. And there have been people that got very sick. The one Johnson & Johnson with the blood clots, people couldn't sue. That's the part that I have beef with. Other than that, I don't care. Like, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, but you know, the same thing goes at amusement parks.
Yeah. Well, you sign the indemnity thing when you get a ticket, right? Yeah.
Right. It's just basically, I mean, unless it's gross misconduct on our part, right. If your grandma dies on the Big Thunder Mountain, you get nothing.
The mouse will just wave at her on the ambulance. Bye!
But I want to make sure I say this before we go.
Okay.
The greatest tragedy of all of this for me is that I can't right now walk around like a Disneyland or a Magic Mountain, because physically I can't do that much exercise yet. It's going to take a while. But the real tragedy is, you remember those signs they have, people with heart conditions?
Yeah.
Should not ride this. That's me now.
Oh.
I'm that loser.
Oh.
Like I'm the person who used to make jokes about it. Like, oh, could you imagine some loser not in good enough shape to go on a roller coaster?
Okay, so before we go, I'll tell you one thing that happened to me this last week. So the Ventura County Fair is not actually happening. They call it like Fair Fest or something like that, where it's like food and some rides. It's not like the rest of the stuff. So I took my daughters and my wife. We went to there. And if you know fair rides, they're put together by like the – you know, $8 an hour people, right? They're not, you can't trust them. They're terrible. And they get broken down and moved every couple weeks, whatever. So my youngest daughter goes, I want to ride the Ferris wheel. And I'm looking at it. It's like sketchy looking already. Okay. And I'm like, okay, fine. Cause my wife's like, will you ride it with her? I was like, fine, I'll go. So I get on it. We go up and she goes, we get to the top. It stops at the top. And she goes, I'm scared of heights. And I go, why are we on this? She's like, I thought I would face my fear. And I'm like, on a Ferris wheel built by people who just move on carnies? Like, they just move it around every week. Like, this is not the way to do it. And she's like, no, it's okay. the whole time she's shaking, which is now shaking the thing, right? And it's like, and there's a big sign on all the back of them that say no rocking, and our thing is doing this, and I'm like, this is how I'm gonna die. My kid's going to kill me because she's afraid of heights. She wanted to face her fears, and I got to be a part of this. This is ridiculous. I was very unhappy. And then every time he came back around, I would ask the guy, like, how many more times? He's like, well, just go up. Wait, is it one more? And he just kept going. I was like, this is ridiculous.
James,
I thought I was gonna
this
die.
Serves you right for trying to be a good father.
My wife said, she's like, I could see your face and just the frustration every time you came back down and you tried to question the guy how many times we're going to do this again. And she's like, you were just getting angrier and angrier. I was like, I just want it off. I just want it off on the thing.
My father never took me anywhere. And I stopped talking to him in 1999. And listen, as bad as people think that is, at the end of the day, I didn't have to deal with him anymore and he didn't have to pay another thing for me. I think we both won. Fair so enough. Like, you know, if you're looking for a way to not have to pay for your daughter's college down the road, just don't do what you've been doing. Become a terrible father.
I can't. I had so terrible parents. I love my kids too much.
So go live with a family member that nobody likes. It'll be fun.
That's perfect. Well, Paul, where can people find you at? How can people find you and your comedy and everything that you're doing?
I'm usually at the Kaiser Hospital now. Room 441.
Do not call room 441 and bother anybody, people, please.
No, I'm literally at Flappers right now. So every Saturday in Valencia, we're at the Jairus Comedy Club inside the Mimi's Cafe.
Great venue.
And people can find me at themoomabides.com, themoomabides on Instagram, TikTok. If people are interested in wanting to know more about what I've turned into comedy gold based on comedy fear with the heart, please message me and I can let you know which shows I'll be at. And we got the Burbank Comedy Festival. I'm going to be doing some hosting next week, which will be the 15th through the 21st. So there'll be a couple of shows I'll be hosting there. But if you go to themoomabides.com, you can see my schedule.
Awesome. Luke, where can everybody find you at?
Luke LaCoy on the internet. And Paul, is the Dry Bar coming out in a few weeks? Or do you...
That I don't know. Because what I've learned with them is they'll dump like 5 at one time and then nothing for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like how texting a girl goes with me.
Yeah. I know Glenn Tickle just dropped his. He just got his dropped. So...
Oh, okay.
So that's pretty awesome. We'll have to have him back. All right, that's awesome. And you can find me at jamesdcrevison.com or comedypreneur.com. That's show that's growing. I do need to add more blog posts. I haven't been doing it, so I apologize to anybody, but there's still good material that's working out. Or you can go to Fiverr/JamesDCrevison. Also Fiverr/LukeLaCoy, right? That's hey. Luke. I sent somebody your way today, I think. Today or yesterday, I sent somebody your way.
And so. We ended up booking, so thank you, James.
There you go. That's what I do. I try to help everybody out, as many people as I can. I spread the love, and not like in the way that STDs do. So, I don't know why I said that. It just sounded fun. It sounded funny in my head, so I said it.
It's exactly what Drax would have said.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to make a Drax bit now. That's what I'm gonna have to do, Paul. I'm gonna have to work on that and make some Drax bits or something.
If you can get a toy that maybe has his voice and play it first so people who don't know, like that would be what I would do if I were you.
I wonder if there I'm looking for a talking Drax right now. The bad part is it's gonna have like a terrible voice.
It'll cost $700, but you know what? You took your kid to the fair. They don't need anything for a while.
That's awesome. Well, again, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please like, subscribe. Please share this with all your friends and everyone you know. Please support Paul. Do you want to share your Venmo so they can send you money?
It's at the Moom Abides if anybody wants to send me money.
There you go. Send him money. Help the man out. Save his heart. Let's keep him alive. He's a national treasure, and he's wonderful. So thank you guys so much. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week, and bye.